John Wilson is running for mayor, and he is in the studio with us this morning. John, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Absolutely. I know you've had this question 18 million times, but why in the world are you running for mayor?
Well, there's a few reasons why, and one, I believe truly that new leadership is needed at City Hall, and leadership that will place focus on the responsible, law-abiding, hardworking, and retired citizens of our city, citizens who deserve safe neighborhoods, drivable streets, and affordable water. Safe neighborhoods, drivable streets, affordable water. Three priorities that will start immediately with John Wilson as Jackson's next mayor.
What strengths, assets can you bring to that position, John?
Communication, which is very important. Again, the mayor is only one vote out of seven on the city council, so it's imperative that the mayor has constant communication with other council members and, of course, with city administration, and number one, of course, is the citizens of the city.
Of course, there's seven votes there, so there's a lot of times there's seven lines of thinking. Are you one that can compromise, bring people together?
Oh, sure, I could. Yes, I'm. You know, you either as mayor, of course, you hold that gavel, and you control the meeting, the pace of that meeting, and again, the mayor. It's important for that mayor to not only try to persuade, but at times dissuade the other council members on votes pertaining to the important issues, you know, with our city. And again, each council member has that opportunity too to also persuade or dissuade the other council members and the mayor on the important issues that the city faces.
But you know City Hall. You've hung out there enough. You know when you get to those, by the time you get to those meetings, most of the decisions have been made and the minds have been made up by council members.
Well, that is reality, Greg, but it doesn't have to be that way. Again, citizen input during public comment is very, very important. And that time period set aside at a city council meeting is for a reason. And therefore, I don't think that on the issues that the council or the mayor may be voting on the agenda on that certain meeting night should already be determined. They should first and foremost listen to the citizens before they vote on any issues. Now, of course, yeah, reality is that each member of the council and the mayor may already have their minds made up. Sure, I understand that. But again, it's imperative that the mayor and each council member listen to the concerns of those citizens who either speak at public comment or get in contact with each city council member or mayor prior to the meeting on a certain issue that they feel is very important.
How do you feel John City Hall is working, and would it operate any differently under you?
Yes, it would. Greg, we all know that Jackson is facing a very extremely serious issue with gun shootings. And those gun shootings primarily are a result of street gangs. Those street gangs need to be removed from the streets. As mayor, I will work closely with the city's police chief and sheriff to have these street gang members arrested, charged, and prosecuted. If found guilty, they need to be jailed, taken off our streets. Then, programs and efforts for rehabilitation can take place while these offenders are jailed. When they are released, a second chance should be given to each one of them so they can prove that they can be law-abiding, productive members of society.
So your inference is we're not doing that?
No, we're not. The city council's approach so far has been just the opposite. And that's to provide programs and other amenities to these offenders who are mostly being referred to as the victims of these gun shootings. They are not the victims. Those who are out there doing the shootings are not victims. The real victims are the law-abiding citizens who live in our neighborhoods. Right now, well, 2 years ago, it's been close to 2 years, City Council passed the Cure Violence Program. And the Cure Violence Program, again, just offers programs and other amenities. I call them amenities because there's nothing involved with punishment with this. It's all programs, whether it's clothing them, feeding them, trying to get them jobs. That isn't working. The gun shootings have only increased not as a result so much of the Cure Violence Program, but again, the City Hall needs to take a whole different approach to these gun shootings rather than treating those out there who are doing these shootings as the victims.
Have you talked to the police chief at all about that, or is that something down the road?
That will be down the road. I did listen to the police chief during the Juneteenth forum that was held at the Michigan Theater. I listened very, very closely to the police chief, the county sheriff, and the prosecutor on what they were saying in regards to not so much the gun shootings, because that was brought up, but for the violent crimes that are taking place, mostly, of course, involving the gun shootings. I did listen very closely with what they did say, and I will plan, once I get through this primary in 2 weeks, I will plan on meeting with each one individually to discuss the issue of the gun shootings.
Can you share with us what stood out to you? What was said?
Well, what stood out was I didn't hear too much being said regarding punishment. What I did hear mostly was the current approach that City Hall has taken, and that, again, under this Cure Violence Program, is programming for these offenders. And again, I worked 28 years with the Michigan Department of Corrections. I've read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of files on these offenders who are incarcerated with the state prisons. Programs don't work. They may work for a minute few, but for the majority, they do not work. What first and foremost, they need to be taken off the streets, jailed, and again, efforts at rehabilitation and programs can commence once they are taken off the streets, and even take place after they're released from jail.
Let's talk about water issues, John. That's one of the other big, probably elephants at City Hall. Rates going up, lead pipes need to be replaced. There's a lot of balls in the air down there.
Yes, there are. Just recently, City Council voted to increase residential water rates by 24% over the next 2 years. This is on top of a 30% increase that the residents have been paying the last 3 years on their water rates. You take that 24%, that 30%, and after the 2 years with these water rate increases, there will be smaller rate increases preceding the 2 year 24% in water rate increase.
So it will go down, but...
Well, it'll go down, yes, from the 12% the next 2 years,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's still an increase.
Yes.
And, yes, as mayor, I will propose to City Council.
You seem upset about that.
I'm very upset about it because there are many, many residents, citizens, homeowners throughout the city that cannot afford to pay these water rates. And as mayor, I will propose to the City Council that they roll back the recent 24% water rate increase and then place a freeze for 2 years on any water or sewer rate increases.
Fair to say, though, critical infrastructure, right?
Water?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the lead service lines. The city has been mandated by the state, by a rule, a state rule. It's not legislation, but a state rule that requires the city, not just Jackson, but municipalities throughout the state, to replace 5% of their lead service water lines over the next 30 to 35 years. That's 5% a year. Jackson has 11,000 lead service lines that will be replaced. That's the latest count.
Yeah.
At a cost of $130 to $135 million. This is an unfunded mandate from the state. The city is, as Jackson's next mayor, I will put a halt. I will freeze. I will not go through with this unfunded mandate until Lansing provides funding for this lead service line replacement. Part of this water rate increase that City Council just passed is will be going towards lead service line replacements. Again, it's an unfunded mandate by the state legislature that the state legislature, if they want this done, and this is all a result over the Flint water crisis, of course. And so if the City Council would place just a moratorium on any lead service line replacements until, again, Lansing provides the funding to get this job done. And there's also in the pipeline, once Congress passes an infrastructure bill, that will provide millions of dollars to local units of government to assist with lead service line replacements.
Our water quality, though, is pretty good.
It's tops.
Yeah.
They win award after award.
Yeah.
And former Mayor Bill George used to tout that all the time, that our water quality is top quality. It's just fine. And our city water department does a fantastic job at providing good drinkable water for the city residents.
Couple quick ones here. The talk about street repair, obviously that's a big issue. And I know it's a big issue with you.
Yes, it is. For too long now, Greg, homeowners have been way overcharged with street assessments just to make their streets drivable. It's not the fault of the homeowners, nor is it the fault of the city employees who work on our streets that many of our streets in the city of Jackson are in the condition they are. And that's very, very bad condition. So it's not the fault of the homeowners, nor the city employees who work on our streets. It's primarily the fault of City Council and city administration and their misplaced spending priorities over the years. And so now what they want to do, they want to raise our sewer and water rates to help go towards infrastructure. And again, we're already taxed enough with taxes that we pay into local units of government and state government and federal government with gas taxes that should be applied back to the local units of government to have their infrastructure, their streets at least made drivable. And again, through the years, there's been misplaced spending priorities out of City Hall. And as a result now, they believe that they have to increase taxes, whether it be street assessments or sewer and water rates, to get those streets made drivable. And that's not so. City Hall has plenty of money to take care of the basic essential needs that government is supposed to provide to its citizens. And that, number one, is infrastructure that includes drivable streets.
Are you an affordable housing guy?
Well, there's a need for affordable housing, yes. But the last few years, government dependency has been the number one issue promoted by our current mayor, and it's affordable housing. We cannot continue to keep going down that path. There's enough programs out there, and there's enough affordable housing to take care of the demand out there for affordable housing. Sure, we always hear about Jackson has a 33% poverty rate, but instead of promoting that poverty rate and almost using it as a trophy to receive state and federal funding for more affordable housing. I say we just do the opposite and promote, rather than promote government dependency, promote personal responsibility.
MLK Improvement Authority.
Yes. I'm not a real big fan of the MLK Improvement Authority corridor, nor any other type of corridor that's being talked about by one of the other mayoral candidates. Government has done enough with economic development in our city. It's time now to focus on our neighborhoods. Now, if you those authorities, Greg, those are primarily financed through tax incremental financing. So the authority, the zone areas of that authority will take taxes, property taxes, from that area and apply it towards that authority. And then it's allocated by a board. And the board is made up of citizens and, I believe, a couple of the council members, including the mayor. Mm-hmm. So these citizens are making the decisions on how to spend those tax dollars that were captured by this authority to spend in that certain area. No, I'm opposed to those zones.
The breakdown of $31 million by the city manager, are you okay with that breakdown, or should we look at that differently?
We should look at that differently. The last city council meeting, I believe they allocated just over $1 million out of that $31 million to apply towards the city water department, and that's fine. That's fine. That money should be used for that. So far, out of $31 million, $1 million has been allocated, approved by city council, to spend on upgrading the city's sewer and water departments. I'm okay with that so far.
Okay.
But again, some of that $31 million can also be used to offset the high cost of street assessments that are being placed on these homeowners. Much of it can be. Again, the homeowners don't need to be paying the amount they are. Those street assessments need to be significantly reduced.
Why should I vote for John Wilson?
Well, I gave you the reasons. Again, my priorities will be gun shootings. Get these street gang members who are primarily responsible for these gun shootings off the streets. Two, significantly lower street assessments for homeowners. And three, to roll back and then freeze water rates for the next 2 years. And again, by the rollback that last 24% water rate increase city council just recently passed with a unanimous vote.
John, thank you.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.